Greetings, my name is Gary Rentschler. I really appreciate this opportunity to talk a little bit about my experiences stuttering in the past and the present. Currently, I'm a speech-language pathologist who specializes in helping children and adults who stutter, and I also teach in grad school, teaching students how to do stuttering therapy. In my childhood, I have really painfully few, or maybe I should say few painful memories of what my stuttering was like in childhood. I do remember my parents telling me they had gone to our pediatrician to inquire about my stuttering when I was probably 3 or 4 years of age. Now, I really respected my pediatrician and liked him a good deal. His advice was, just ignore it, he's going to outgrow it. As much as I hope that's true, I think that my clock is running out a little bit for that to happen, and I've pretty much accepted the fact that my stuttering in all likelihood is going to stay with me for quite some time. When I was 5, my parents took me to a university clinic, and this was in the year when Wendell Johnson's diagnosogenic theory of stuttering was pretty much in his heyday. And the advice that they received was not to draw attention to my disfluencies, not to talk about it, not to make me feel badly about it, and somehow by not acknowledging it, I would not develop into a person who stuttered. Interestingly, the effect that had on me was, I'm sure, not what was intended. Because as a child, I was really aware that there were major differences in the way I spoke compared to other kids my age. But the impact was that I didn't have anyone to talk about it. As a child, you really don't know how to deal with it. And the outcome was feeling like there was something so bad about me or so wrong about me that even my mom and dad couldn't talk about it. So those thoughts tended to turn inward. And I started feeling like something was really wrong with me, something so bad that it couldn't even be talked about among family and friends. Interestingly, that still affects my work today, because as a result of that experience, I really consider, before telling parents and telling adults who stutter, what I'm going to tell them and the likely impact that that could have on their lives. Fortunately, today we're taking a much different perspective on dealing with stuttering and helping people overcome the difficulties that they have. Another memory that I have is waking up in the morning as a school-age child and hoping that today was going to be the day that my stuttering was going to be gone and that I could continue on and speak and enjoy my life like other kids did. Every morning, that dream was dashed, because usually the first thing I said, which was the answer to the question, what do you want for breakfast this morning, came out in my same stuttered speech. Another recollection I had was in seventh grade. The speech teacher called me down to the nurse's office, where his office was, had me read what I now know to be the grandfather passage. I think I stuttered on every word when I read. Not sure, there may have been one or two I got fluently. He then sent me back to class, and I never heard from him again. Looking back, that was a real opportunity lost, because even in the seventh grade, my speech was pretty bad, and I tended not to talk a great deal and not to socialize. And it's interesting in society, particularly school society, those kids who are kind of at the bottom rung are very accepting of everybody, whether you're mentally challenged, whether you have a speech problem, whether you're hyperactive. It's a very accepting group, and I kind of fell into that group of not really ne'er-do-wells, but not really the kids who were going to go on to excel in school. High school was really hard for me. I didn't have a good time. It was a constant series of trying to avoid situations in which I'd have to talk. I always sat in the back of the class, and I tease my students now. That's where the good students sit, because that's where I sat. I graduated in the top 2/3 of my high school class, and my ambition was after high school to go into the Army to get that obligation done. College, which I saw as more school, wasn't something that I was looking to do, but I agreed with my parents to apply to one school and somehow I got in and got a bachelor's degree in business administration. When I graduated, the next step was getting a job. And the real obstacle at age 22 was interviewing, because something you do when you interview is to introduce yourself. And those two words, Gary Rentschler, were the two hardest words for me to say. So, in fact, the interview was over almost before it began, shaking the interviewer's hand and introducing myself. So I realized I was at kind of a crisis point, because I had done all the school that I could do, the draft was over, and it was either working in the steel mills or trying to get a job and using my skills and using the knowledge I had gained from college. So I actually went back to the same university that I had been to 17 years before, and that was a real turning point in my life. And I can still remember how anxious I was going over to the clinic, sitting at a corner, knowing that I had to make a right turn to go to the clinic, and really thinking what I wanted to do. The light turned green, and somehow the car turned to the right, and it changed my life completely. I think of those things that were most meaningful for me, one experience going to the clinic is that my stuttering became an asset. In my life up to age 22, it had been a real albatross. It was hard for me to interact socially. I enjoyed it, but talking was not a part that I liked. And here at age 22, coming to a university clinic, all of a sudden there were all these girls who were really cute and interested in my stuttering. I thought I had struck gold, because now my stuttering seemed to be this magnet for women. That unfortunately was probably the only time my stuttering served me well. And I recognized that through therapy, I could learn how to control my stuttering. And I learned how to manage it, to be able to manage it. I know now that I went through the Van Riper approach to stuttering therapy. I only had group therapy, but it was such value to me that I really worked at it, and I really worked at being able to modify my stuttering, and I worked through the prep sets and all of those tools that gave me more confidence in my speaking. Amongst the things that also happened, which I think was a landmark in dealing with stuttering, was I learned to accept it. And looking back, I think acceptance is owning it, that it's my stuttering, not something that happens to me. I think acceptance comes also through embracing it, because I've learned in life, the more you hate something, the bigger it gets. And I hated my stuttering with a passion, and it was my life. But as I started to learn that it was a part of me that I could manipulate and change, it took up smaller and smaller parts of my life. And by being now able to control my stuttering, I was less anxious about speaking. And so the less anxious I became, the less muscle tension I had, the less I stuttered. So I was beginning to turn that cycle of stuttering around to my advantage. The other things that I did that were landmarks in my stuttering life was joining Toastmasters. For those of you who may not know, Toastmasters is a public speaking group. People from all walks of life who come together, who have difficulty, at least in their own mind, public speaking. And it was really amazing to me, because I met attorneys who stuttered, I met secretaries who stuttered, housewives, successful business people, who were all maybe even more afraid to speak than I was. And through that experience and getting lots of practice speaking, I gained even more confidence, and that was really helped me to think a little differently about speaking and differently about stuttering. As an SLP, I talk a lot about stuttering, and as a teacher teaching in the clinic, I talk about stuttering every day, and that I think has helped me to look at stuttering as a commodity, like the stock market or art or politics. it was no longer as personal a topic, and that made it easier to talk about. And the frequency of talking about stuttering, I think, helped me to recognize it's just a thing. It's not me. It's a part of me, but it's not all of me. It doesn't define me. I think that, you know, I ask myself what being a successful speaker is about. And a part of me and a part of what I see in the clients who stutter that I work with is that it's really not about fluency. It's about the content and the delivery and the sincerity. And understandably, so many of the people who I work with and myself looked at our fluency as our success. And it was helpful for me to push that aside and recognize that good communication isn't really part and parcel to your fluency. And I think that was kind of an eye-opener. People listened to what I said in spite of the fact that I stutter. I talk about my stuttering and how I feel about my stuttering all the time. And that's as therapeutic for me as it is, I hope, educational for other people who stutter or have children who stutter. Amongst the things I've come to see is that there are many paths to stuttering. And as a speech pathologist, a principle that I follow is that my route to success, being a successful communicator, is not necessarily one that's going to be followed by every individual. Each of us has a unique experience stuttering, and each of us has, therefore, a unique path to overcome the obstacles that keep us from attaining our communication skills to the degree that we like. I've really enjoyed my path. Looking back, I'm sure when I was in high school, none of my friends would have ever believed that I would grow up to become a speech pathologist. Kind of in the same way that those ne'er-do-wells in high school sometimes grow up to be policemen, no one would have suspected the guy who couldn't talk would be a speech pathologist. But it's really been an interesting career for me and a very rewarding career. People often ask me, essentially, are you proud that you went to school and got your doctorate? And while I am, I'm really more proud of the success that I've gained in overcoming my stuttering. Because going to school is taking classes, doing things that are asked of you, taking tests, writing papers. But overcoming stuttering is personal, and you're dealing with your fears directly. And to me, that's the greater achievement than getting my PhD. Today, my stuttering remains. I look at my stuttering and I as neighbors, neither friends nor foes. We're both coexisting peacefully, side by side, and each respecting one another's force, power, and determination. Sometimes I think about how different my life would have been had I not allowed stuttering to govern so much of my early years. But judging by those who I've met through stuttering or because of my stuttering, I honestly can't say whether my life would have been any better or not had I taken a different course. I, again, appreciate this opportunity to talk to you a little bit about my stuttering experience and hope that it resonates with many of you listening to this today. Thank you very much.